The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
Good morning, King's Chapel family. All right, so if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. My goodness, it has been a battle to be here with you this morning. I've had quite a three-week journey with viruses and all that stuff. Anybody been there, done that? Okay, so I need to get over it then. I thought I was the only one in the Northern Hemisphere who was battling stuff. I mean, I was going that, and I was headed to that woe is me. My wife's not here this morning because she's in, you know, she's got it, and so she's going through that thing too. And how many of you all do the woe is me thing when that starts happening? Let me get a sniffle. I'm the biggest baby you ever want to encounter. Just a little sniffle. So anything past a sniffle, I'm like, oh Lord, I'm coming home. And so then somehow he brings you through all of that. And so I thank God for it. And I ask that you would continue to pray for me because I still got stuff. I might take a moment in the middle of the sermon and blow my nose. Please forgive me for that. But I did prepare ahead of time. I do have a thing for sanitizer. I just stuff them right in there. And so you don't have to worry about that. For those people who are new for the first time, I am an Afro-American pastor. Let me put it like that. I'm a pastor who happens to be Afro-American. Let me put it like that, okay? That communicates where my heart is. And I do have a towel. I have to explain this because some people know it already, and they say, oh, my God, we'll be here forever. But I do sweat. If you look at my head, I have no hair up there, so it doesn't stop the drops. So I will sweat, in addition to the fact that I'm not feeling well, so I'm going to sweat even more. And so I do need to wipe the sweat from my brow. Is that okay with you people? Okay. All right. Now that we have all of the administrative stuff out of the way, as I began to prepare for this message, it was a unique one because it wasn't the one that I wanted to preach, but it was the one that the Lord said, you do this. And I just want us to stop. I was so apropos in the prayer this morning, going from 2018 to 2019. This is not one of those sermons. This is not probably one of those Christmas sermons either. And I know sometimes we can get very pegged and seasonal in how we want to approach the things of God. But I look at Christmas, I have to tell you, I look at Christmas as a year-round event in my life. Now, I know you're saying, oh, yeah, that's so bookish. You're just one of those, and I hate you. But I only tell you about my life. To me, it was more than just a baby in a manger for me. And I get that. That was the setting. And so once you get past all of that, then what does that have to do with my life today? And when I think about my life today, someone told me this morning, you're so enthusiastic. And I am. I'm enthusiastic. But I want you to understand the legs, the foundation of that enthusiasm is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of my enthusiasm. Because I was a man headed to hell. I was a sinner and didn't realize I was a sinner until the Spirit of God told me I was a sinner. And when the Spirit of God told me I was a sinner, I said, I agree with you, Lord. I am a sinner. Now, I know some of you are sitting here this morning because you've been in church several days of your lives, and it has become very natural for you to be in church. In fact, you don't know what you'd do if you saw at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning if you weren't in church. But here's a part that struggles, here's a tough part for you. You may not really truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's very real, and I don't take that for granted, whether I'm preaching here, wherever it is I'm preaching. I know that being in church doesn't mean that you are that you're in Christ. You know, and I pray, you know, if there's something about tents that, and so some of you prayer warriors do lift up my wife. I just thought of a funny thing, because she's now dealing with what I've had for 2 weeks, and so she's not here this morning. And she's the first lady of the Harding household, so we definitely need her in the hub. We definitely need her up and running. Amen? Oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm saying up and running. There's no first lady, there's no first man. I just want you. Okay, so. But anyway, this thing about the tent. When you know, do you really realize Israel worshipped in a tent? And they'd take the tent down, and they'd move a little ways, and they'd worship some more. And they take the tent down, and they move a little further, and they worship some more. Ah, now the King's Chapel is worshiping in a tent. Wait a minute, Pastor. That ain't what I signed up for. We've got to take this down every Sunday and put it back up every Sunday. No, that's not what I... And so when I asked my wife many, many, many years ago, this is when I was unsaved, man, and I was struggling with this whole world of business and, you know, the dog-eat-dog world that's in corporate America. Anybody know about that? Is it just me? Or is it truly dog-eat-dog out there? How ruthless can you be? Ooh. So anyway, I said, okay, I know that's not for me. And I said, baby, if it wasn't about me making a lot of money, I said, but what if we had to live in a tent? Would it still be you and me if we got married and all of that? Do you know what that bride of mine said, who wasn't a bride of mine at the time? She says, baby, if we had to live in a tent, I would live with you in a tent. And that made me feel so good. It really did. Fast forward to 36 years of marriage. I reminded her of that about a month ago. And I said, baby, remember, you know, when you said, you know, regardless, if we had to live in a tent, I would live with you in a tent. She says, I remember it. She said, but I was talking about the big top. So some of you are okay as long as we don't have to break this down and put it up every Sunday. You know, as long as we can enjoy that. Oh, some of you all don't know what big top is, do you? Does everybody? Oh, new people. Yeah, anyway. And so what would you do to worship God? The message today is the covenant of love. What would you do to truly worship God? To really enter into a covenant relationship with your Creator. Forgive me for drinking water too, because I've got all kinds of stuff that dries you up inside. So do you all want to hear this, or do I just need to just press? So, I just need to get over myself and move along. First Corinthians, do that. Okay. First Corinthians chapter 11. And as a foundation, which is what we'll end up in Exodus. We're going to go two places this morning, then I'll be done. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 25 in a very familiar passage. We'll normally hear it when we take of the elements around communion time. When we recognize the emblem, excuse me, but I want to zero in on something that Jesus said in verse 25. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, if you scoot over real quickly over to Exodus chapter 6, and that's where we're going to break out for just a little bit. I'm not going to keep you long this morning because I know many of you are sulking because of the sports results from last night. Some of you all didn't have some winners in the football column that you would have loved to have had. Both my teams won, if you care. Some of you have left food on the stove that you think you're going to get back to in a reasonable time, but you had no idea I was preaching this morning, so God bless you on that one. So the first thing we look at, it was always God. When I look back over the Old Testament, and all through from soup to nuts, Genesis to Revelation, it has always been God's desire, his passion to have a love relationship with us. Don't get all hung up on the technical terms and all of what you could be consumed by in terms of the Adamic covenant and the Noahic covenant and the Abrahamic covenant. Don't get all, those are covenants, yes. That's how God did business with us. Has anyone seen God? No one's seen God. But God has always had a covenant and worked through a covenant with his people. Jesus says, I represent the new covenant. This blood is the new covenant. Okay, so what does that all mean now, this Jesus? Because I've got a feeling deep down inside, it has a whole lot to do with whether we pop out tonsils on Sunday morning about the excitement of being in a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a deep feeling that if we come to grips with what that actually means, it might be hard to sit still. Can you imagine being in the presence of the Lord God Almighty and doing this? That brother ought to be done by now. Can you imagine being in this presence? What would it be like if you really encountered in 1 second and in 1 moment the presence of the Lord God right in your face? Ah, my brother Jacob in a vision said, truly the Lord was in this place and I didn't even know it. Could it be us that way? Could we be right? Could Jesus be right there in the seat right next to you and you not even know it? You know, he says, I inhabit the praises of my people. It is his longing to be with us. You know, I talked about the disconnect, because they're just empty seats, but, and, you know, for God's sake, don't sit in an empty seat next to somebody. Okay? Just don't do that. Not that you need me to encourage you to do that, but just don't. But maybe you save those seats for Jesus. But when we are truly family, I mean, when he's in the room, he unites and gravitates everything that's of him to him. That's the nature of his covenant. That's the nature of who he is. And so I thought, how appropriate, how do we go into 2019? And this is not we're going to start the new year off with a bang. Because I'm going to call on you this morning. I really am. I feel so compelled to do it. I won't leave this building until I do it. And if I never come back in this building again, it will be done. But I think it will be done to the glory of God. I'm going to call on you in two areas. Because that's what a covenant relationship is about. Repentance and obedience. Repentance and obedience. Some of you had one of the most jacked up years you could ever imagine in 2008. Can I say jacked up? It's okay with you if I say jacked up. You're not offended. Okay. Jacked up 2018 that you could ever have. And guess what? It ain't over. But you're headed into 2019. And you know, if we keep coming to church on Sunday morning and keep smiling, nobody will ever know. Just keep on the Christian garb. No one will ever know. And listen, I'm going to be very, I almost said naked, but I'm not. I'm going to be very open with you this morning. I don't do well at pretending. Because the cost of that relationship was far too great. It cost God, his son, for me, for you, for the whole world, for all those who believe. And so what he burned in my heart is, he said, Milton, remind them of the love that I have for each breathing body in this building this morning. He says, I want you to remind them of my covenant, the covenant that I have with them. Now, if you proclaim the name, you're in that relationship. You're in that covenant relationship. Let me make things simple for us this morning. Covenant is just a compact. It's just an alliance. It's a, if you will, let's say contract, for the lack of a better word. It's legitimate and it's biblical, and we can use that, but not in the way that the culture uses the term contract. You know, don't get me started. The marriage agreement. The marriage relationship, the marriage vows, they're a verbal, oral contract. Amen? Does the culture know that that's what they are? We enter in and out of contract. We enter in and out of marriage relationship contracts like they're the Walkman sampler. Nobody knows about that sampler, do they? The Whitman sampler? Brother, don't expose us here now. I thought they were more than a dollar. They were more than a dollar, weren't they? You give 75 pieces of candy for a dollar. Not that one. Okay. For those of you all who don't know, and I'm going to speak more so this, because this crowd over here has no idea what a Whitman sampler. Because y'all have been around as long as the internet, haven't you? Oh, okay. They still sell them, they say. Anyway, they give you like 2,000 pieces. I'm hard on this deal because I'm just saying, what could we have been thinking? They're still in business because they're selling candy that they give you like 40 pieces of candy and only two of them are worth eating. And only one of them have nuts in them. The rest of them things go right in the trash can by the time you say thank you, love you, sweetheart, and goodbye. Anyway. And unfortunately, we do. We go through relationships the same way. And it should not be. That blood streaming down the post of that cross should be very real to us in the relationship that we have, if we have the relationship. Now, if you don't have the relationship, this is just going to be another talk. But I don't do talks. I don't do chats. If we can't get the truth of God's word in this place, stop coming to the King's Chapel. Let me say that again in case you all didn't hear me. If we can't get the truth of God's word in this place, stop coming to the King's Chapel. Yeah. And you ought to be like that. You ought to be demanding of it from the leadership here. Yes. Hold me accountable to the word of God. Hold me accountable to truth, because that's exactly what God holds us accountable to. Amen? So, if we deal with the truth of God's word, and we know that he springs from a covenant, that agreement, it's a friendship, really, that God enters in with us. And one of the things I love about the covenant that God sets with us is he does it all. All we have to do is be willing to believe. Once we say, yes, Lord, the relation kicks into overdrive. For those of you who might be struggling with how that works, write down Philippians 2.13. I don't have time to go to it right now, but Philippians 2.13 said it is God who is at work in us to will and to do. It is him doing it in us. All we have to do is be willing to surrender to the relationship. Oh, to believe. Oh, they said, Jesus, what must we do? John 6.29. What must we do to do the works of God? He says, this is the work. To believe. And again, that's why I don't think tonsils come out on Sunday morning. Now, there were a few tonsils. Do you all know what I mean when I say tonsils get popped out? I watched, I don't know how many people were at the game last night, but it was a bunch of them. Road Tide folks. I don't even know what Oklahoma is. But anyway, there were some people screaming in that place. Screaming for their team to win. I didn't have a real, I'm a Virginia Tech fan. I didn't have a real dog in the hunt, but I liked the game, liked the exchange. For those of you who have been under my preaching for a while, I use two analogies, food and sports. Work with me through this. So they're screaming like the mortgage payment. is resting upon the outcome. Have you seen some of the panoramic shots that they give you of people in the? Is it hard to figure out who's not winning? Anyway, if we'll do that at a football game, that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. At the end of the day, what would we do if we discovered that Jesus Christ was in the seat right next to us on a Sunday morning? Yeah. You know what? You'd pass out and you wouldn't even care. Yeah. You'd pass out and you wouldn't even care. Think about it. Fast forward to the throne room, if you will. I want us to understand, don't carry 2018 into 2019 in the same way you're in the condition you're in right now. Get that fixed. Because when the words came out of his mouth, Lord God, when the word came out of his mouth, it is finished. It summarized everything that any of us is going through in this building this morning. I realized that during Christmas time, we often move into a time, it's not really a happy time for everyone. It can be very depressing for some, very oppressive for some. I mean, that's just the nature of it. You see all of these people getting into a real tizzy. They used to show it to you on TV, a real tizzy about, what was the deal going on? Where was that? What is that frenzy they go into when they get ready to put deals on? Yeah, Black Friday. Now, there's a deal. And you people ought to realize this by now. I mean, I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but God, Black Friday every day of the week? It's the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. But they got a Black Friday sale. And people are just tearing the stores up. Do you know, as dismal as this economy has been over the last few weeks, they said this was the best time for retail sale. I look at this stuff because I'm just saying, who are we kidding? This human heart will do what it wants to do. And it'll appropriate what it wants to appropriate for what it wants to appropriate. Yeah, it will. That's just human nature. That's us. We do what we want to do. And so, as a result of that, now, it might seem like I'm beating you up a little bit this morning, but I'm not. I'm just, don't you rally with those who are just ready to take it on for Jesus? Is that a draw for you? If not, there might be a reason why. We'll get to that a little bit later. But in the sake of looking at this covenant window, if you will, I want to take one out of Exodus. You can see it all through the Old Testament. But this one kind of caught my eye a little bit because I thought about every covenant that God sets with his people, you hear the heart of God. You hear his tender heartbeats, if you will, about how he feels. Hold on. About you. If you get deep into the covenant, you hear God's heart. Go to Exodus. Did I tell you Exodus chapter 6? Somebody's got to say yes or no. Okay, here we go. See, I like if you'll talk to me too. I mean, that's not just... Okay, anyway, here we go. Exodus chapter 6. I'll start in verse 1, but we're going to end up... I might just read the whole Bible. If y'all keep playing with me, I might just read the whole Bible. Okay. Then the Lord said, and I'm reading the New American Standard, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Now that might just to you seem to be placed in a neat little spot. But there didn't need to be a verse 3 and anything else after that. God says, I am the Lord. Let me take you forward real quick, but back just a bit ago when John the Baptist's daddy. I just want to see if y'all with me on this deal. So Zacharias, the priest, is in the temple, and he's praying for a son. And then Gabriel shows up. The angel of the Lord shows up. And he tells Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. You're going to get a son. Then he goes on to tell him the wonderful things that John the Baptist is going to be doing when he comes. Now, to a father who would want a son, it's overwhelming. It's got to be overwhelming. But the joy and the excitement, the glee, it just, that should have been in place. But out of Zacharias' mouth, and this is the man of God, this is the priest, this is the holy man. He asks Gabriel, now just don't dismiss Gabriel because I brought him up for a reason. The prophets of God were just as though God were there himself. When a prophet of God spoke, it was as though God himself was standing right on their feet. And Zechariah said to Gabriel, I love this. He shows up. He shows up. Zechariah, I am Gabriel, the angel of the Lord. That's who I am. Goes on to tell him this wonderful thing about the son he'd just been praying for, as if that wouldn't be enough to connect him. Do you know what Brother Zach said? How shall I know this for certain? Oh, Lord. How will I know this for certain? You've got the voice of God. You've got God Almighty right there in your presence telling you, I am going to give you that son you've been praying for. Ah, but I'm going to need a sign. I'm going to need a little bit more than that, Lord. Oh, you need a little more than that, do you? Now, I don't think, because it doesn't say it in the text, and I don't want to read into it, but here, I look at the actions, and the actions suggest to me that Zechariah, the priest, he asked a question that probably shouldn't have been asked. And then the next thing he got was the mute button. That brother went mute for 9 months. Now, God's the mute button, that's God's love expression to us sometimes. Sometimes you need, husbands and wives, sometimes you need the mute button, don't you? Well, no, there were a mixed review in that response. Sometimes, husband and wives, we need the mute button. Somebody say amen. Yeah, come on, let's don't play. I've been married for 36 years. I know there are plenty of times in my life I needed the mute button. When God puts you on the mute button, brother, I guarantee you the next time when he unmutes it, you'll say exactly what he wants you to say. They tried to give Zach an opportunity to change his mind about what the boy should be named. And they said, well, Zach, what do you think we ought to name him? He had no problem whatsoever speaking what God wanted to have as a name for his son. And so, when this passage says, I am the Lord, we shouldn't just read that as though there's some kind of like little extra thing put in the text. God is speaking to us to say, know who I am. Oh, it gets better than that. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. Ooh. I also established my covenant, underline that word, with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. It's important that you understand that God established a covenant, and he also gave them the land. You know, I struggled with land for such a while, and I couldn't, and I still do. When I think about this land, it was always the land. It was always the land. It was the land. It was land. The Levites never got land, but they got what everybody else was getting from the land, came to the Levites to take care of the Levites. But it was the land. He was going to give them the land. It was Canaan. I'm going to give you the land. Then I got to thinking, makes every bit of sense to me. And it takes us back to God, going back to Genesis. What did he charge Adam to do? Have dominion, rule over the land. Who in here right now has the latest iPhone? I don't even know what it is now. I think I have a 5 or 6. I'm okay. You can laugh at me. Yeah, I got a 5 or 6. What is it out there now? Anybody know? X desk is a phone? XS is the phone, which is the next level for iPhone. Did they ever get to 10? And I have a 6? Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so all I wanted to do was make a call. I didn't want to bake a cake. I just wanted to make a call. Okay. It's okay. So, sister, I'm right there with you. Now, listen. Do you know that the same thing that put together the I-6 also came from the same place for the XS? It all came from the land. Every bit of it came from the land. Whatever that newfangled dangle thing you have that didn't serve you 20 models ago, but now we fast forward and we've got this real sweet deal over here. It all came from the land. And in fact, if you give that a little time, we can go down to the dump and find all the earlier models to go back and in some way be recycled. Do you understand? It is the land that produces. So why the thing as opposed to the thing maker? When you hold the land, you hold what sustained Israel because of all of the native, all of the nations coming to them because they knew that they had God's favor. It was a covenant response. And all I'm saying through all of that is this: oh, worship the Creator and not the created. Some of you kind of felt a little swag when she said XS because you have one. So you had a little, do I need to explain swag? Yeah, so you had a little swag about you because you had an XS. But there's one way greater than the XS. Somebody say amen. Yeah, and you know what? I just need to remind you of the fact that 7,000 people on the hillside got their bellies popped out and heard a message, and there was not 1 ounce of electricity in the land. And Jesus fed them all. Okay. Verse 4, I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians, underline that word Egyptians, are holding them in bondage. Underline the word bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Important to note, God remembers his covenant. If you have relationship with him, there is no time ever should these words come out of your mouth, I don't know what I will do. Because he has already done it. And all you need, many of you are looking for answers. You don't need answers, you need peace. Yeah, you're looking for the answers as a why, but you don't need the why, you need peace. In fact, you can't even handle the answer, but you need the peace of God. You need the peace of God so that when you get the answer, you can stand up, that you can stand fast. Because you know what? When Israel came out of Egypt, God didn't take them the most direct route because he knew that they were too immature in the walk and in the faith, that they were encounter enemies. They'd never been in war before. They'd never fought before. They had never been through them. And he says they might just go back. So he took them a longer way around, different route. Oh, my. God says, I remember my covenant. Here's my question to us, church. How often do we remember our covenant with him? Come on now, let's be real. I told you I got to be raw this morning. How often do we remember our covenant? When I say covenant, think relationship. Think this divine relationship that we have with the Lord that he is begging us to enter in. And in order for us to enter in, we have to pay this insurmountable price. And you know what the price is? We have to surrender ourselves. And you know what? We just got too much stinking pride. I can say stinking, right? We've got too much stinking pride to surrender. Pride. He says, but I paid for everything. Nope, not surrendering. Now I'm going to do this my way. And when we tell God that, guess what he is bound to do by his covenant? Let us do it our way. And even when our way gets jacked up, we just keep pressing right on. You know, sometimes, men, can we be hard-headed sometimes? That brother over there said never. I hope his wife, I don't even know who it was, but I hope his wife. So, yeah, I mean, we can be. We don't even need wives. We can just be stubborn with one another. Okay. I take that, that's an amen. Okay. Verse 5. Furthermore, I've heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Thank God for remembering his covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Listen, that verse is so packed, it's so rich. I want you to hear this, and don't forget it, saints. Listen to this if you're in the covenant relationship with God Almighty himself. He says, I will bring you out from under. One of the richest scriptures in passages, if you will, in scripture, in my opinion, because it's one thing to come out of Egypt. It's another thing to come out from under the bondage of Egypt. So you get saved. And I've seen this happen so often, you know. And I don't want to cast aspersions either way. I've been able to be in a lot of different places. Let me just say that. And sometimes inner cities can get their own little distinction. Does everybody understand what I mean? That you can't. There are seasons that you can't go to the inner city because of the inhabitants of the inner city. Somebody say amen and understand what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying, or do I need to get this down where you can handle it? Okay. And so sometimes, I'll put it in the biblical term. Sometimes you can take poverty, or people out of poverty, I should say. But the greatest struggle is taking poverty out of people. God doesn't do it in halfway deals here. So if you're all in on the covenant, he says, I'm bringing you out from Egypt, which was the oppression, if you will. The world system that if we're not in, and you're either in one or the other, you're either in the kingdom of God or you're going straight to hell. That's the two groups we have here this morning. Let me say that again so you don't make any mistake, because I won't make any mistake about it. I'll be very clear what I'm saying. In this room sitting here right now, how many people in here are breathing? Okay, almost all of you raised your hand. Okay, if you're in this room and you're breathing, you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. You either are living right now in hell or you're living right now in the kingdom of God. There is no gray area. There's no hangout place. You with me? Praise God. He says, they therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. See, we were never designed to be under the burdens of the Egyptians. That was the only life the Egyptians knew. Can you imagine serving Pharaoh for the rest of your life? If you don't understand that, relate to his pride. Because most of us live in that place. Where am I, youth? We hung out, didn't we? Okay. If you were at youth group, I want you to raise your hand. Only these two adults here and this brother, I'm with you. I am. I'm with you. Bless his heart. Okay. You're pointing over there like, okay. Good. I won't make you stand. Listen. It was one of the blessed times of my life. I mean that. I'm still talking about it in some circles, about what I saw God do there. That's why I believe that there's something happened here at King's Chapel that you want to be a part of. And not because it's a neat little thing, but because God is here. I believe it. Jesus Christ is in this place. Okay. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. Sometimes you can recognize your oppression or that you are oppressed, but you might not recognize your bondage. Because they can at least medicate you to deal with a season of oppression, but only Jesus Christ can snatch the bondage out of place. Do you see the bondage? The bondage is what anchors you. While this aerosol of oppression is going on, you can be oppressed, but you don't have to be oppressed. Somebody say amen. In fact, that's good right there. Yeah, somebody say, if you heard it, maybe you didn't hear it. Now I'll say it one time again because I thought it was good. You can be appraised. How many of you have got bosses who have not yet really been able to appreciate your contribution in the workplace? So that's how to have to break down the language so you all understand what I'm talking about. And sometimes you can work in oppressive environments, but you don't have to be oppressed. You can live for Jesus in that environment, and guess what? They're going to hate you anyway. Get over it. My Lord. Jesus says, I got this. You're the very reason why you are the reason you're in that place. Jesus put you there. Not to be hated. He said, the world hates me. They weren't even thinking about you for hate when until you got involved with me. Ah, Lord. I'm going to stop here. Not really, but I'm going to try to stop. Listen, verse 6. Say therefore to the sons, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm, that's his power, and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. There's never been a sweeter statement, I don't believe, than God giving you the picture up front. Hey, here's where I'm going, and I want you to go with me. I will be your God, and you will be my people. You will be my peeps. That's a little more intimate. Yeah, you'll be my peeps. That's an intimacy statement that God, hey, listen, let me tell you something. We're too busy trying to be each other's peeps, and we don't even like each other. Because we put too many, I can say stinking, right? Yeah, I think that's been certified. We put too many conditions on one another to be accepted by one another, and we disregard and reject an unconditional love of God so that we can kind of somehow be in these conditional relationships that we think are far better for us. And so we swirl around into that mess until we get it all wretched up and jacked up, and nobody wants to be around you or them. Oh, y'all stay with me now, because I really don't have time to play. This is real stuff. And I long for the day when the church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood purchased, starts being the church. Are you with me? That we start being the church that his blood purchased. So listen, let me do this and I close. I told you I was going to keep it simple, and I hope that I did keep it simple. I want to close with this verse 9. It says, Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses. Why? On an account of their despondency or their oppression and cruel bondage. Sometimes our circumstances can make us deaf and blind to what God is doing in our lives. Sometimes we can be under that, oh, you know what? I see it in marriages. I see it in work relationships. I see it in you name it. It's wherever relationships happen, the potential for the circumstance of the relationship to far outweigh the joys that God provided, listen, in the relationship. So we start looking for grass is greener on the other side. Or we start looking for that better job with more pay. How many of you all got that and you're just so sorry you left? Okay, I wouldn't expect you to raise your hand, but yeah, I get it. Yeah. And God says, I want you to be a blessing right where you are. And while you're being a blessing right where you are, I will bless you. But Lord, you don't know what it takes for me to pay my bill. God says, I know what it takes to pay the bills I've created. Somebody say amen. So sometimes we get needs and wants confused. I'll never be invited back. But it's too late. I'm already on staff, so you got to put up with me. Listen. Sometimes if you get needs and wants confused sometimes, be bold enough to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to make sure I'm among real people. You know, Whisper, I need this. My daughter didn't have in the eighth grade, seventh grade, whatever, didn't have a cell phone. She needed to make a call to a friend. We're having this conversation in the kitchen with a wall phone right in between us. Only God could arrange that. I said, darling, go ahead and make the call. Dad, nobody uses those anymore. Well, you don't need to make a call then. You want to make a call. More so, you want a cell phone. And that ain't happening. Okay. I'm not cruel. No, I'm not. I'm just saying. Sometimes our circumstances can make us deaf, can make us blind, and it really distorts our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The people did not listen because of the despondency and the cruel bondage. And in this world system, that's the only trade-off we get. It's either the love of Christ or we're going to get continued oppression and bondage. And it just leaves us as washed out, quote, Sunday morning church-going people. I want to say Christians, but sometimes it's no more than that. We're just checking the box. Folks, let's get beyond that this morning. Stand to your feet, if you will. As the praise team comes, I'm going to end this a little bit different. I know with what Pastor Mark said to you. Marty, was it Marty? Okay, I got it. I'm going to take this one on the chin. I didn't know how we might end this, but I'd love to end it this way. And then I'm going to go sit down. But I'm calling on the church. Certainly the church family here at the King's Chapel. And thank God for visitors. This may be your moment and your time too. Go ahead and play, man. And then I'm going to just, I'll be done. Can we do that? So listen, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer here. And I told you before I preach this morning, I was going to give you an opportunity. I was going to take you to two places. One, a time of repentance, and the other one is obedience. They go hand in hand. In fact, obedience is required. Obedience is required for repentance. So if you hear the voice of the Lord speaking this morning, he speaks corporately, but he also speaks individually to you.